Hey there, everybody. So this is a special episode of the Who Goes There podcast that was recorded live with a group of people in Portland, a group of people from the Nebulugo Book Club Discord. And it is recorded in a space that's kind of very live, very echoey, very kind of hard surfaces. So it's a real challenge to try and edit out all the echoes that bleed through everybody's microphones. I've done my very best on that. But the fact is, anytime we talk over each other, everybody laughs, you're going to hear that echo. I've tried to make it as easy on the ears as possible, but just be aware of that. This is also a challenge that involves a lot of chewing. And so I have tried to remove as many of those sounds as possible because I know that a lot of people are really sensitive to that kind of thing. I think I did a pretty good job on that. There's a little talking with your mouth full as well that happens. But it was a fun thing to do, and so I'll toss it over to ourselves in the past to talk about that. And I may do a couple of extra comments in here as we go. Okay, I'll kick us off, I guess.
All right.
Like I said, I don't have anything written down, but
we're winging it.
Yeah, all right. So hi there, everybody. Welcome to a special bonus episode. I see what you did there.
Slam dunk.
Yes, where it is yet another crossover of the Nebulugo Discord, book club Discord. There we go. Nailed it first try. And my podcast, because we're here in Portland, at somebody's place, who you will have heard before on the podcast. So I'll introduce everybody and then I will throw it over to Matthias, whose stupid idea this was. And he'll tell us what we're doing. All right. So Sophia has been here before.
Hi, everyone.
And then Sarah, newcomer.
I have not been here before.
Yes.
Hi. It
turns out that we met at Worldcon last year in Seattle.
It's true. And on the Discord, I'm Elrathia.
Excellent. Perfect. And then we have Matthias.
I am Matthias Stella Magus, leader of this book club.
So what are we doing here? And what was the idea?
Okay, so I'm not sure how it got started, but we were talking about hot sauce on the book club. And I think Sophia mentioned we should do a Hot Ones episode. And I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. And I just kept pushing it and kept pushing it. And I think it's been about 2 months in the making now. Mm-hmm. And here we are. We got 10 sauces, plenty of chicken nuggets. And I think we're all in for a bit of pain today.
Yeah.
We wrote down some mild, medium, and spicy questions. We're going to put them into a bowl, randomly draw them out. We're doing three mild, four medium, and three spicy questions. I don't think any of us are really prepared for what is about to happen.
No. Well, I'm prepared to start hiccuping just randomly. So it should be a real fun adventure to edit out my own hiccuping.
Yeah. And as Sean Evans always says, watch your eyes.
Because yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought about bringing gloves, and then I absolutely did not do that.
That would have been a great idea. I almost brought chopsticks.
Oh, that would have been smart, too.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So, in the discussion on the Discord was, you know, yeah, let's go ahead and, does everybody have hot sauce? Anybody in the area who can do it? And then, what are we going to talk about? And there were, I don't know, 17, 18, 20 books
at
thrown
least,
out.
Yeah.
Anything that had hot or...
Heat, sun, inferno.
Yeah. So, what did we land on?
Hot House by Brian Aldiss.
Nice.
This is my first Brian Aldiss book.
Me too.
I am very impressed, and I will definitely read more of this guy. I thought it started out weird and just got weirder, and I loved it.
Yeah. I've read some as a short fiction, but not any novels. So I did get to at the Seattle Worldcon. His daughter was there and had a little kiosk.
I heard that.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I did a mini interview with her.
Yeah.
Wandering the floor. Nice lady.
So. Yeah. Great accent.
Yes, definitely. How does this fit into the Nebulugo oeuvre?
Not very well.
No, it does.
Is it? This is not a Hugo or a Nebula award-winning novel.
This is a Hugo-winning, not novel.
For short fiction.
For short fiction.
Which seems like... I didn't know that either. It seems like cheating because it's four novellas and a trench coat or something.
Yeah.
I think five, actually.
Oh,
five.
Gosh.
I think there's three novelettes and two novellas, basically. Oh. But it used to be they didn't have the strict word counts on the short fiction categories.
Right.
They just had Hugo Award for Best Short Fiction.
Yeah.
And since this was published all in 1 year, but as separate segments, it won the award, even though it's a full-grown novel.
I did not know that. I focus so much on the novels. I should branch out into the smaller fictions for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did they change the rule the next year or did it wait a while?
I think I was reading that between like 60 and 66, they had best short fiction and then it got changed into best short story. And then they started working in novella and novelette as well.
Okay.
So if anybody out there who knows more about the Hugo history, you know, let us know. Christine.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I guess we could start with like the first question is just, what'd you think of it? Right.
Yeah.
But should we start with a nugget first?
Is that the Cholula question?
Well, the two questions I thought would be good precursors were anybody's first time with Brian Aldiss, mm-hmm. any familiarity with, like we just went over that. Yeah. And then how are you with spicy food? How far do you think you're going to make it before you start feeling real pain? How many questions?
Oh, that's a good question.
I feel like question number 7, 8 is where I'm going to start really feeling it.
You're cheating because you already tried that one.
I've tried all these except for this one.
Yeah.
I think it's going to hurt before that, but it won't really be suffering until the sort of 7-ish.
Yeah. Okay. I'm hoping that the ramp is gentle enough that like, you know, the endorphins kind of kick in and, yes. and are like, yeah, spicy food. Give me more spicy food. And then it's not until you get toward the end that you're like, why did I do this? What do you think, Sophia?
I love spicy food, but I don't eat a lot of it because I know that places will hide low quality food by using a lot of spice.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'm very particular. Sorry, but that's me. I honestly have never ventured past like maybe habanero level.
Okay.
So I am very scared.
Because habaneros are still tasty.
Yeah.
Right. For me, it's all about flavor.
Ghost peppers don't taste good.
Right. That's the question. Are you tasting nothing but pain? Because at that point, I'm like, I don't know why I'm doing this. Because I really enjoy spicy food, but I was telling everybody before we started, my esophagus is easily startled. And so I have no idea if the Cholula is going to be the trigger that starts me hiccuping. I will try and edit around that.
That would be real bad for you.
It would. I'll just do a mute podcast for the rest of the time.
Yeah.
With occasional hiccups. But... When I cook, I like to cook all kinds of different things. I like, you know, cooking kind of Southwest and into Asian and Indian food as well. Mm-hmm. And I make a vegetable korma that I like
to make.
Love that. So it just punches you in the face. I like it really spicy. And then I serve it with like buttered chicken or something that's really creamy to kind of take the punch out of it.
That sounds good.
That sounds amazing.
But yeah. I know I've succeeded when I start hiccuping.
So okay. Yeah, first question.
All right.
So, I'll just reach in, into the bowl, random questions, pull one out. Looks like it's
yours. Oh, it looks like it's mine. Okay.
So should we dip and eat and then ask the question?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right.
Yep. So, I will do a lot of dipping editing. You didn't say the words of institution over it. So you did not properly confect the sacrament there.
Oh.
I am an ordained minister through the Universal Life Church. I bless all of these sauces.
Excellent. Yes. I now baptize you mild.
What I like is that I've just immediately made a mess with the sauce, which you can't see because it's an audio medium and not visual.
Okay, so what sauce are we having here, did we say?
We're starting with Cholula. Should we get the Scoville units out?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every time I see Cholula, I want to start singing, I want to say, you know, Cholula, Jamaica, Cholula.
That's terrible.
Nice. It's the way my family is. Like anything will spur a song.
Well, so we're starting out with in the one spot, Cholula is 3,600 Scoville units.
Pretty respectable, not bad.
Pretty
not bad.
Mild as compared to what we're about to ramp up to.
All right,
everybody? Cheers, friends.
Cheers. Mm-hmm. So good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. These nuggets are good too.
Light work.
The nice thing about Cholula is like it's got a nice balance to it, right? It's kind of salty, but a little bit of acid as well, and then just enough spice to.
But not like too much acid. It is very balanced and a good like.
That's when, in a hot sauce. I like to like taste the chilies or the food or whatever.
Good flavor.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. How about a mild question?
All right.
And this one, I think, it should be appropriate for people who like to read from the big lists of books. So how do you think that this book fits into its era? Is it consistent with 60s science fiction? Or is it a throwback? Is it ahead of its time?
Well, I watched a number of reviews on this book to try to prepare for this. And somebody was saying that Brian Aldiss was right at the cusp of the new wave in the 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
So he kind of straddles the old and the new. I feel like it does kind of fit with the new wave. It starts out weird and just gets weirder and weirder. And I really liked it.
Yeah, I would agree with that as like a little bit ahead of its time, if its time is new wave.
Yeah, I appreciated he was making up random words doing these compound word situations.
Right. And not really ever explaining. Not explaining it beforehand. Right.
Right. Maybe not the specific words he chose to merge together.
No, not necessarily.
But it you can't, you're not on autopilot. Whatever era you're reading this in, you have to like, what is this word? And we're like, it just registers different, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
For me.
Mm. Yeah. For me, when I wrote this question, I was thinking of, it reminds me, even though I agree, it does kind of fit in the era. It also strikes me as a little bit of a throwback to like the earlier planetary romances and stuff, Lee Brackett mm. and Edgar Rice Burroughs,
okay.
where the, it's not about the science at all.
And not right? at all.
And in the new wave, lots of time, it's not about the science.
Yeah.
But just like some of the stuff, if you start looking down here, you know, if you start squinting too hard to figure out the orbital mechanics,
nope.
it's going to break your brain and it's not the point.
I will say that part made me wish that he had just written it as fantasy.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's a good point, actually. It really does read more like fantasy.
Yeah.
It's an adventure, which mm-hmm. I liked. Yeah.
It's at least two adventures and up to five.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
You know, maybe on question one, we should say what this book is about.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We can edit that in, right?
Yes, right here.
All right. So the book is basically set in an unknown future. I'm guessing a million years into the future.
Billions of years.
Billions. Into the okay. The Earth has become tidally locked to the sun. Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, the moon is also tidally locked to the sun. Which makes zero sense.
To the Earth.
To the Earth.
To the Earth?
Mm-hmm. To the Earth.
Okay, that makes slightly more sense, but still not a whole lot.
Through gigantic plant spider webs.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that whole bit about those giant, the traversers.
Yes.
Yeah. So in this future, the side of the planet Earth that faces the sun is, I'm guessing, somewhere around India. Because the mm-hmm. banyan tree has become the dominant species on the planet. It has grown its roots and shoots all the way to the Terminator.
Basically, an entire continent
yeah.
would be one tree.
Yeah. And then in this new wild hothouse, because the Earth is super hot, most of the fauna has died out and the world is taken over by the flora. And they have got their own volition to a degree. They can move around. They are predators. And humans have slowly been regressing. They're about a foot and a half tallish. And they are back in the jungle days of pre-human society. And they have no tech. They have very little society, period. Mm-hmm. And they're out there just trying to survive. And they don't really know anything about the world. Which I kind of like because as the characters learned a little bit, we were learning mm-hmm. about the world as well.
I would argue that they do have tech because they at least have woven mats and weapons that they make out of various things. There's some amount of tool making going on.
Okay, yeah, good point. Good
and
point.
They wear clothing.
That's yeah, true. Yeah, good point.
So I swear at the beginning, they weren't wearing clothing. And then as we went along, they kept getting more and more clothing. And I was like, well, hold on a second.
They wear enough clothing for them to flash each other.
That's right.
is the main part that I picked up on it.
That has its own unique utility. Yeah.
Yeah. So the adventure is about Gren, one of the few males left in humanity. And he goes off on a wild quest that's really not a lot for him to have wanted to do. But he gets into crazy adventures and travels around the planet, and we get to see more and more of the planet. And some of the people at the beginning go to the moon, which I thought was one of the most interesting concepts.
Yeah.
Because the traversers, these giant mile-long spider plant creatures, they are plants, but they look like spiders. They mimicked spiders-ish. Yeah. And they made, little trails out to the moon and captured it. But as they go there, they release oxygen, thus giving the moon an atmosphere. Mm-hmm. They're also taking bits of soil and bugs and some creatures up there. So now there's a whole world up there.
Right.
They've terraformed the moon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Accidentally.
Yeah.
Which, super weird.
So I know they're described as spiders, but I couldn't see them as anything other than giant, giant stick insects.
Okay.
Mm. Mm.
I don't know what that says about me if I'm like the square cube law guys.
Right. Yes, definitely.
I saw them as very plump.
Very plump?
Yeah.
See, I saw them as long and like stretched out.
Yeah, I saw them as more like long daddy long leg spiders.
Oh, okay. Small and then big leg.
Yeah. Even, I mean, the square cube law, that for anybody who doesn't know it, is just like the mass increases as a function of the cube.
Right? And the mass increases faster than the surface area. Yeah. And that leads to bad things.
Strength.
But that's more science than this book has. So
very much.
That's a me problem, not a book problem.
Yeah. Well, and once you're up towards the moon, the gravity's less anyway, so everything's cool. And I kind of inferred from the book that the moon is a lot closer than it used to be. And that is a thing of the moon's orbit decaying over time. It is possible.
Well, the moon's actually getting farther away from the Earth every year.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, by like centimeters.
Okay.
Eventually, it will go off.
But the Earth's rotation is very slowly getting slower.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How's that going to affect the moon? What will the science like tomorrow?
Yes, exactly.
A billion years from now, we'll know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so if you can see it in fossils, like fossil corals have these like tree rings, essentially, mm-hmm. and you could see how many days there were in a year. Mm. And wow. now we have fewer days in a year.
Okay, I'm going to need to find out what your day job is.
Yes.
It's not that.
That's pretty cool.
Okay.
Okay. Should we move on to the next question?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody sauce up.
Yay. Beckoning. I'm going to apologize in advance. When I wrote these questions, I don't know what I was thinking. Oh, this is not bad. Okay.
Wait until everybody's sauced.
Well, inform us here. We're moving on to sauce number two, El Yucateco Hot Sauce Chile Habanero.
Excellent.
Yeah, pretty good. I learned about these guys from watching Hot Ones, and I found a local shop near me that was selling them. They have the red and the green. I did not like the green, but we're looking at 5,790 Scoville units. Okay. So taking a step up.
I don't think I would have liked the green either. I'm one of those cilantro soap tasters.
Oh, you're.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I love cilantro.
Yeah, same.
Okay.
Rock and cheers.
Roll. Taste them up.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Again, quite pleasant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm worried I just startled my esophagus.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, that's too early.
Some of it, too, is like the geography of where the food goes in.
Mm.
If it hits the back of my throat mm-hmm. right away, it's like, that's it.
I made that mistake. I think I'm okay.
All right, Sophia.
All right. My question is, I want to discuss the morel and the sodalee. Mm. There's a little bit of a back and forth. This is a spoiler, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Full spoilers. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So tell us about the morel first.
So the morel is definitely for the majority of the book, the morel travels with Gren or keeps interacting with Gren in variety of spaces. Definitely carries some amount of intelligence and history
mm-hmm.
that the humanoids do not.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, I assume the morel are mushrooms.
Yes, like the morel mushroom.
Yeah, right. And they have brains.
Which is odd, but I liked it.
Well, the morel mushroom itself is kind of
It looks a little bit like a brain. Yeah. So I can see that it seems like a visual correspondence mm-hmm. there that he was doing.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we... That is actually more spicy than I realized.
It builds a little.
Yeah. It does, yeah. My lips are burning a little.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think we're
chilled. Yeah, I'm cooked already.
Okay. The TV show Scavenger's Reign, I know we've talked about it on the Discord. Mm. Have we all seen this?
I've seen it, yeah.
I haven't.
It's fantastic.
Okay. I haven't seen all of it, but I've seen some.
There is this creature, it's not a mushroom creature, that seems to have telekinesis, telepathic ability, and I kind of saw the morel in the book similar to this creature in Scavenger's Reign.
Okay.
That they are able to control not just humans. In the show, they're able to control lots of things. Mm. The morel, as far as we can tell, can only control humans?
No.
Or
there were
anything with the nervous system, I think.
Okay.
Because there were the termites, that, mm-hmm. which is where Gren found the morel.
Originally, yeah.
Originally. With their pet cats.
Yes, I was going to bring that up.
Oh, that's right.
Old sci-fi got to throw in a cat somewhere. At least it wasn't a sexy cat this time.
I was trying to keep track of all of the animals.
Yeah.
And basically non-plants that were mentioned throughout the book. So I was like, cats.
Yes. Yeah, there's not a lot of animals until right at the end. And I was like, oh, there's suddenly more animals all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so the morel attaches itself to our protagonist, Gren, and starts talking to him in his mind,
mm-hmm.
but it can also physically control him. And you said you want us to talk about what was the one called again?
Sodalier.
At the end, we meet the Sodalier,
mm-hmm.
and there's a bit of a back and forth, like, who's more intelligent?
Yes.
And I was hoping that we can discuss that.
Mm.
Well, it's interesting because, can you name that creature again?
Sodalier?
Yeah, it's a dolphin, right?
Right.
Right, okay.
Or fish. Looks vaguely like a dolphin, but he doesn't ever describe it really.
Right. The reason that I assumed that it was a dolphin or a porpoise or that it was a sea mammal, just because it didn't have to be underwater to breathe, right?
Yeah.
But it is described essentially as a fish. The big fish lips, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
With a really downturned...
Picture it as Steven Tyler.
Lips, yeah.
So the, one more time, what's the name of that thing?
Sodal yay.
Can I just read that on the paper?
Sorry. And the Sodal are an entire species.
Yes. So they do have society, and they go traveling around the oceans, learning new things. So they have a continuous amount of knowledge they can give around to each other. Whereas the morel, it can bifurcate itself and make a baby to send off, and they can talk to each other, which was really cool. But I think the morel's understanding of the world is much more limited than the fish.
So it all, yeah.
Thank you.
I kind
fish
of
Jesus,
think
just call it fish yeah. Jesus.
I kind of think he forgot halfway what he had already written about how the morel reproduces, because at first it just sort of like a chunk comes off, and goes on to grind and then gets split off to his other companion.
That's right.
Whose name I don't remember right now. Was it Toy? Toily? Poily.
You're so close. I don't know if that.
Yeah,
let's call it.
It was Poily.
It was Poily. Yeah. But it just split, and then the second time it wants to reproduce, it's going into this like senescence and it's dying, and it kind of almost sounds like it's going to take Gren with it. And it wants to infect the new baby that Gren and Yatmer have just had.
Yeah. The names are a struggle.
Yes. I should have taken more notes.
I swear I was paying attention.
Morel did seem like it was getting a little sick hanging out in that cave at the end. It's like, why don't you just put yourself up? I mean, you've got the tummy belly men to put yourself into, maybe one of those goat guys.
It was also going cuckoo bananas, because it started getting way more aggressive and just wanting to, or Gren stopped cooperating with it, so it started doing more of a, I will impose my will upon you.
Right, yes.
Yeah, and you could see, Yatmer could see the strain on Gren.
Right. Yatmer had an ounce of self-preservation and want to go hang out with other people.
Yeah. Smart move on her part.
Yeah. There's definitely a contrast between, because the Sodalia is essentially kind of just going around as a prophet and saying, hey, by the way, everything's on the way out, you know. Put your head between your knees and kiss your butt goodbye.
With the like three enslaved companions.
Yes. Yeah. That's required to carry it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
One carrying and then two women.
Right. Who could, that was an interesting bit. I don't know if somebody's going to get, this is the problem of not knowing the question.
I know. So I'm guessing there'll be an 11th or 12th question. Well, I really had a really good point I want to bring up. We didn't get to it.
Yeah, exactly.
So the fish Jesus, they can talk, so everybody can hear them who's within the presence, but the morel can only talk to the person it's attached to.
Yeah.
And I think that's the limiting factor here. Mm-hmm. Now, did the morel get onto the fish at the end?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. No. That was, so, again, my fantasy.
But in both cases, you have a preservation of knowledge, right? But but the morel can only preserve the knowledge of the thing that he's attached to.
Right.
And where Sodalier says that knowledge never died out in the ocean, right? That the hothouse of the title doesn't affect the ocean as badly. And I think, I'm not sure that's correct, but whatever. I guess after they've dealt with it, after they've evolved, right? Then maybe they're more adapted to it. But the morel kind of could only tap into like the racial memory, the collective unconscious of the species that it was part of.
Which was really weird.
That was another throwback thing for me. It's right out of Planet of the Apes, if you've ever read that novel.
I do know.
No.
Yeah. Where they at some point they stimulate, Dr. Zira stimulates the brains of some of the mute humans, and they just start talking. And they start talking about the ape takeover from generations
That's
before.
That's right.
It's definitely something that was more common in older.
Yeah.
Speculative fiction.
The pseudosciences back in the old days.
Yeah, yeah. Then real science came along and spoiled everybody's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's the ancestral memory thing was definitely way more common, I think, at the time. Mm-hmm. I also had the thought while reading this that there's a lot about the moon here.
Yeah.
And then this is pre-people actually going to the moon.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yep.
And it's like, how much did people know about the moon in the early 60s?
Not much.
And, yeah, not as much as my 21st century brain knows about the moon.
Yeah. So, I mean, you couldn't get enough oxygen up there to hold an atmosphere, right?
I don't think it has either the mass or the electromagnetic field to hold onto an atmosphere.
It's very big for a moon, but there's not enough gravity to hold onto it.
Okay.
Yeah, and even if it could, it without a magnetic field, it would just get stripped off by the solar wind.
Right.
And it's something that was probably known by science at the time, but how much that was in the public consciousness is...
My understanding of the kind of... astrophysical situation of the novel is that this is after the sun, our sun is out of the primary phase
okay.
and into the red giant phase. So it's probably already consumed Mercury, maybe Venus. So it's not as bright as it is now, but it is much more massive. And that's in another 5 billion years. That's something people have to take down a note to get ready for that.
Right.
We can't help doing it, but I think it's wrong to approach this of what does it mean actually for science.
I agree. Yeah.
They're ants. It's covered by one big ant.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Although the trees aren't intelligent in themselves.
No,
right?
I know.
So
just everything else that lives on, around, or in them has some sort of intelligence.
Matthias, you mentioned that you thought the humans were like a foot and a half tall.
Yeah, he said they were a quarter... or a fifth of their normal size they used to
be. Right, so
yeah,
20...
I guess that's about right.
So I figured a foot and a quarter.
A six-foot person.
Which I thought was cool because at the beginning I thought they were normal-sized humans. I'm like, oh, this tree is just even bigger. But then you start shrinking the people down and then the plants get bigger. It kind of even out a little bit there.
Yeah.
I also like how they have greenish skin. Mm-hmm. Does that mean they have some sort of photosynthesis?
I assumed, but...
I also think he forgot that halfway through because I think later on he talks about people as having brown skin.
Yep.
Oh,
I noticed that as well. And that's the nature of a fix-up, right?
Right.
He's right. I mean, he did write them all in a year, I think. But even so, he probably didn't keep a Wikipedia page.
I think there's a lot more. I have all these ideas to get down on paper. I'm going to go through them and maybe not make the most internally consistent world because I have another wacky idea.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to be like, okay, there was this one thread, but I don't need to come back to that. One of my questions in here is, are there any of the unplucked threads that you would like to tug on if you got your choice?
More moon.
Yeah.
The moon was the best part.
Yeah.
I like how that came so early. I was like, this is going to be a great book. We're already going to the moon.
Yeah.
I was like, thank goodness we've abandoned Gren. He seems like a piece of work.
Right. Yeah.
Little did I know.
Yeah.
You know, and the age of Gren seemed odd because he was a kid at the beginning, but I swear just after the adults left, I thought he was like a 20-something-year-old, then a 30-something-year-old as the book went on.
I pictured him as 15 or 16.
Okay.
Yeah. So they said he was 9, the age of majority was 10. You're considered an adult at 10. Okay. Probably a small body size, grows a little bit faster, part of the pressure because
sexual maturity,
they're getting murdered left and right by various plants. Yes. So you gotta get fast enough to have babies before you get eaten by a giant space spider.
Nine?
He was 9.
I should take more notes next time.
Okay.
Are you ready to move on to the next question?
Yeah, let's do it. We're moved into the mediums now, right?
No, one more.
Still,
one more.
Mile. Third, okay, mild. What do you guys sauce up? And I'll tell everybody about our sauce here.
We're going to pick one of your questions.
In the third spot today, we have Tabasco Scorpion, a lot higher than regular Tabasco. It's 23,000 to 33,000 Scoville units.
Are we really going
from 5,000 to 23,000?
Well, do you want to hear the number on the 10th spot?
No.
No, you don't. You don't want to hear
What were you saying?
It's one small step for podcasting kind, one giant leap in Scoville units.
Yeah. We're going five, six times hotter.
Okay. I'm fine. Totally fine.
And again, you sauce your own wings. Nobody's going to tell you to put more on there.
Good point.
Yeah. You know, so do you want to do a little dab? It's fine.
I think this is respectable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very respectable. Okay. I was going to match you. I noticed.
I feel no such...
This isn't a competition.
No, it's not.
But I'm winning.
Just says the Stoic.
Give me time.
Oh, boy. I overdid it.
Uh-oh.
Be brave.
Oops, I spilled it.
Oh, it's going to be all over your fingers now.
You know what? Yeah, it is. You know, from a distance, that smells like olives to me.
Yeah.
Like Kalamata olives.
I agree.
Well,
I mean, it's the kind of...
The brininess. Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
Doubled up on the chicken, so that helped take some of the punch out.
Mm-hmm.
It still has good flavor.
Yes, it is Tabasco Plus.
It's got some, like, toasty kind of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be wiping my nose for the first time today.
Editor Seth interjecting here as well. This is the first time we got an inkling that our sauces may be slightly out of order, because this one hit us pretty hard. Everyone except Sarah, that is.
The right hand is the nugget hand. The left hand is the high hand. Oh, there it is.
First hiccup.
Right. I think I have to get a glass of milk.
Oh, yeah. Take your time.
Whew. Sarah is the Stoic.
Thank you for being here, Sarah.
I mean, I have one job on this ship.
Whew.
I am definitely feeling it.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I feel my eyes watering.
Yeah.
I may start going a little less heavy on the spoon.
Yeah. I went.
That's number three.
It's all under my tongue. I did a bad job biting.
The next one, I guarantee you, tastes better.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Well, it's a habanero coming up, so yeah. that is one of my favorite peppers.
It's interesting how we're getting habanero, scorpion, ghost, habanero.
I think the one I brought is going to end up being further down.
You think so?
Yeah.
We'll see.
My tongue hurts. I think I made it through the hiccups, though.
Good.
You've powered through? That's really fast. Oh. Good job.
It was my question. Sorry, mm-hmm. I'm slowing down. Okay. A proper mild question. What new plant species did you like the most and why? There were so many of them.
See, I do not remember the names of most of them.
I'll start with mine. Okay. I like the burn urn.
Dang it. That was the one I was looking for.
So in the beginning of the book, the adults decide that the kids are old enough and they're going to leave the kids on their own in the jungle forest. And they ascend to the tippy tops of the canopy. And they find a burn urn, and somebody please correct me when I'm wrong on this, but it was almost like glass, like chitin, like a seed pod.
Yeah.
And the plant that it belonged to could manipulate it to flex it and move it around to catch the sun and focus, harness, focus its rays like we do a magnifying glass to burn things. But also, if you cracked it open and got inside and then somehow attached it to one of the traversers, you could take a safe, mostly safe trip to the moon through the void of space. It had a weird smell inside, so I figured there was some sort of chemicals anesthetizing you to some degree. But then was it the radiation from space that morphed the people that gave them the wings and turned them into flymen?
Yeah.
It wasn't the pod itself, not the burn urn itself. It was the actual radiation from the space.
I mean,
it could be a combination of everything, right?
I think it was all of the above.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. That was one of the first plants we saw, not one of the first, and I was just fascinated by the concept right away that it could do these sort of things. And so every time a new plant came up, I'm like, oh, what's it gonna do? What could this thing do?
Is this draft style? You know, if somebody takes yours or you're out?
No, you have to pick a different one? No. If you like the same one.
So my favorite vegetable or favorite plant, I've already tipped my hand a little bit, was the celery and parsley on the moon, which is not described, but apparently tree forming.
Yes.
Giant celery and parsley on the moon.
Yeah.
There's not really much more to say about that because he didn't say much more about it than that it existed. I'm like, why is this one of our known plants and the rest are tongue plants and little rabbit things? And I don't remember the names either.
There are a lot of names for a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah, this book could do with a glossary.
Yes, that would have been so handy.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to say Mod Podge, which was not one of them, but would have fit right in.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Absolutely. Sophia, you got a favorite plant?
I wouldn't say favorite, but definitely memorable were the big leaves that they would like shelter and hide under and, you know.
Like a little tent?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, their little pods that were their homes were.
The Pizzly Wizzlies? Oh, no, the seed.
I don't remember the name.
I
they were big leaves.
I think it was just they used a variety of big leaves over the course of the trip.
They tried to wear them for clothing at one point when they went to the colder climes. That was interesting, finally covering up their obscenities.
I mean, I guess I'll go for the low-hanging fruit and say the traversers, just because it said that they essentially rely on the hard radiation in the transit between the Earth and the Moon, in order for its life cycle.
I wonder if they evolved from spider plants.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, I bet cool. Brian Aldiss had a hothouse in his backyard and just went out there. And was like, oh, what if I made that as something? What about this? What about this little bug?
Yeah.
So maybe he didn't like celery and parsley, send them straight to the moon.
Right. But then he described then he described the moon as essentially an Edenic paradise, right?
The closest thing that there was, just by being a little bit not as hot as the Earth.
Yeah, it was. It didn't
seem without hot. All the predatory species.
And without the, yeah. Right? Well, they had the one, the fly, which were actual flies, I think. The tiger flies?
Tiger flies.
Yep.
I imagine it was like a yellow jacket with the black and red, like a tiger. That's just what I figured.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a lot of description about a lot of things in this book. It was the journey.
mm-hmm. was the book.
They sounded like wasps with
yeah.
a...
Yeah, and they put holes in the traversers, so that's yes. very waspy. That's
right. Yeah. Traversers seem pretty nonchalant about it, though. Like, I can take a certain amount of damage before...
It said it didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
They're just so big that they have, like, one sensory neuron every, like, 40 feet. They're a mile long, which is just crazy.
The nerve impulses take a while to get from one end to the other.
Yeah.
In like four hindbrains, but along the spine, just keep pushing the messages up.
Yeah. Cool.
So is everybody's?
All right. Good thing we're done with the mild.
Okay. Simmer these old questions. Get the mediums.
Oh, those are mediums.
Thank you.
Did I?
Medium.
Yeah. I did. I did put mediums in.
Spicy.
I was trying to do it all.
Thank you.
All sneaky like.
You were so sneaky. I didn't see you reach over here at any point.
You were a little distracted.
Okay.
By burning.
Yeah.
I wrote three medium ones, but let's make sure everybody gets one of their questions right first.
Yes. So.
Then we should pick mine because I only actually contributed one question.
Okay. There we
go. Is it in there?
It isn't.
It should be first or last.
I'll do it first.
Okay.
Let's go.
It's gonna be easier on you. Yeah.
I'm sticky.
All right, are we going to dab it up?
Yes.
We do.
While you dab, I'll let everybody know what we're dabbing.
I've got to make sure that I don't accidentally brush in the other one that is now not going to be as scary as the rest of them, but that made me hiccup.
All right, moving into the medium phase. Number four stop, we've got Yellow Bird Habanero. This is one of my favorite sauces. It's an everyday sauce for me, which might seem surprising to our listeners, considering my reaction on the last one. But we're moving up to... You know, there's not a lot of solid numbers on these Scoville units, so we got a range again, 15,580 to 54,535.
That's a pretty serious range.
Yeah. So.
And this one's thick, so it's easier to put more on.
What'd you call me? Sorry. just call me Alexander Dumbass. Sorry.
Shawshank.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's okay if you chew into the microphone. I can cut it out.
That is not as hot as the last one.
No, the flavor is great.
Mm, that's yummy.
Yeah.
Are you getting it local? You can buy it locally.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
They got different flavors, but I like the yellow one the best. You got green and red?
With the lovely, red. Like, Angry Bird logo. Mm-hmm. All right. So my medium question is, do you think there are any humans in this book?
Like post-humans, trans.
Do you think there are any humans? Anything that you would call human?
I would call the protagonist and his close family friends, the original tribe, I would call them human. But like the tummy belly men, I'm not sure if they were and then got sucked into the tree and became like together forever. But when they got cut off, they did seem pretty human. It's a good question.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
So my take on it is that most of the creatures were, there's some sort of humanoid that they've evolved or devolved from human as we understand it today into some version of a tummy belly or, you know, living in the water people, that they've.
The herders, the fishers.
Yeah.
That they've the all. The fly men.
Yes. They've all morphed via evolution or de-evolution into their current form. But I think they all started out as humans.
Yeah, I think it would be how you define, right? Because this is a Neanderthal or Cro-Magnon. Are they human? They're Homo sapiens adjacent, but not the same species precisely. I mean, a lot of their biology seems to be human, but...
Not the fly men.
Not the fly men, no.
And not the tummy bellies.
Just the nature of their reproduction and that kind of stuff. Sounds sandwiching, I think, was what...
The worst. And then she's called... Yeah. That's what she's called for the rest of the book.
Sandwich lady.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated that so much. Oh, I hated that so much. I would say that there aren't anything that I would call human there. Descended from human.
Yeah.
Okay.
But not human. And part of my reason for that is that there were smaller hominids, and we mostly give them other species names.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that this, like, millions and billions of years later, they're going to be more different. Like, their biology is definitely different. Yeah. We can't metamorphose.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're talking about where we are.
Right.
Of almost 5 billion years.
And like, we can all agree that we're human.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, a billion years from now, like, our descendants would be our descendants, obviously.
Right.
But we would probably call them something else.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think from a scientific perspective, if it bears on this book, you're right. Yeah.
Well, but that's not the point of this book.
No. Yeah.
It's a fantasy with confusing terms.
Yeah, because the flymen are clearly just Tinkerbell. So
what?
Tinkerbell. But they had to be men. Even the women are flymen.
That's right. I mean, the book was written in 1960, right?
61.
61.
Okay. And then it won the Hugo in 62.
I mean, if he published 5 in a year, how quickly was he going? He might have started before 61.
Yeah.
Sure. Like yeah.
I don't know his process. I don't know this guy. I've never read anything by this guy before in my life.
Yeah.
This is all I have to judge this man on.
Would you read more by Brian Aldiss?
I would need someone I trust.
Okay. Fair enough.
Is this your first Aldiss?
First novel-ish. Yeah.
You read some short stories.
Yeah. The what was it called? Super Toys Last All Summer Long for AI Artificial Intelligence.
I just listened
to
that episode. Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah, and that's an interesting story. But I've heard good things. I have somebody who wanted to do, one of my former guests wanted to come back and do Heliconia Spring.
Yeah.
That's a series, evidently, and yes. I've heard lots of good things about that.
Spring, summer, winter? Spring, summer, fall?
I don't remember.
I think winter.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know they're in the science fiction masterworks, which we'll be getting to soon, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, we will.
Next question?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
we had that brief respite of the misplaced mild sauce.
That sauce was too easy.
Yeah. I mean, that was a nice respite, though.
That's yummy. I mean, that's nice and sweet.
Yeah.
And I put that on breakfast tacos.
Good flavor.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that one and the Melinda's. These are my everyday sauces. Every day.
Okay.
I love them. All right. So we're moving into question number 5. This is going to be the Heartbeat Scorpion, 66,000 Scoville units. So definitely hotter than the last two sauces.
What did you say the Scoville scale was?
66,000.
Okay.
We could throw on some more sixes if we needed to.
Well, let's taste it first and find out if they've earned them.
Say about that.
I feel like I don't know if I can sit down anymore. Stand up.
So this sauce is a mystery to you?
No, I own 8 of these sauces. I've had all of them.
Okay.
I didn't prefer this one over the other ones. It's a little waterier, a little runnier than I prefer, but it's fine.
It's not as good as the one before or after, in my opinion.
At this point, my lips have been burning for 20 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
Cheers.
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 I think this one got old.
Like, this one's a dud.
Yeah.
It's got a nice flavor, but it's not.
There's no heat.
Yeah. It used to be hot. Huh, I guess now
okay,
you know.
Okay, a tiny bit.
Yeah, a tiny bit.
Toward the end, but.
We're not complaining, are we?
No, we're not.
It does taste good, though.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody wants to take that one home, help yourself. It's
dead to you now.
So my medium spicy question was a true question because I don't think I understood.
Okay, great.
Why this was. So I was hoping to get from you all.
Okay.
Why is Laren, the baby, Gran and Yatmer's baby, a threat to the morale? Was it ever explained?
Okay, go ahead, Sarah.
I think it was an opportunity for the morale, not a threat.
Yeah.
So all the advantages of merging with the human, like the father of the baby, but the child is too young to have its own will, really. It's just a baby. Mm-hmm. All it wants to do is like drink milk and do baby stuff. So I think it's more that the morale could have shaped the baby throughout the life to become the perfect vessel.
Yeah.
That's what I got, yeah.
Yeah, that's the impression I got as well. That is essentially like an AI trying to take over a new body. Mm-hmm. But without the baby having the volition there.
With like a little hint of this is an innocent baby that we're going to want to protect. So the morale is going to appear more threatening because it wants to eat the baby.
Yeah.
I think when I saw that it was described as a threat, I kept looking for the threat, not thinking of it as an opportunity or some other misdirection, right?
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of drama there. Her running away with the baby,
trying
to leave it with the belly, tummy belly man, and then running back, and then his whole reaction, Gren's reaction with the morale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it felt more dramatic than I thought it needed to be, but, I mean, we are talking about taking a baby and destroying its life and its mind, all of its possibilities are going to be gone because the morale would just become, it would take over. It would push that baby's mind so far down it would never grow.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, well, now I have my own body. Fantastic.
Well, if the main protagonists are Gren and Yatmer, mm-hmm. right, and that especially in that third part three, right, it would make sense that bit was dramatic.
Yeah,
right. Because we're trying to see it from their, we're seeing it from their point of view.
True.
So. Yeah. Was it your impression that, and you know, feel free to chime in on this since you're asking because you don't totally understand. I don't totally recall. I think both Gren and Yatmer had the morale in some sense.
No, Yatmer never had it.
Okay. For some reason, I had that impression, and then there's other parts of it where the morale is trying to convince her.
It's Gren had the morale first, and at that time, it was enough morale that it would split. So okay. Poily had the morale.
Okay, that's probably what I'm thinking.
And then she died, and then Yatmer basically stepped into her role.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and there's a moment in there that I always pick up on the religious references because I'm the religious guy, but not that I'm assuming anybody else, but the kind of Garden of Eden reference where the Morel is trying to convince either Poily or Yatmer, and there's some notion that she'll die with this, and he says she will not surely die. It's straight out of Genesis chapter 3.
Oh. Interesting.
And it says, you know, actually, your eyes shall be opened while you'll be like gods. It's straight out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Wow.
In the Garden of Eden narrative.
Okay. So I would argue just the knowledge of evil in this case.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I guess their knowledge is a good, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I did like that part when it was on the first lady and she fell off into the water and got eaten by the fish or whatever. That's and right. Morel like screams out, half of me just died.
Yes.
It came off as a little funny to me.
Right.
I don't think it was supposed to be.
which is interesting because the Morel butted off from the Morel that was with the termites.
I don't think so because he was in the termite hill and then he got let out. And then as he's walking around the no man's land, a Morel
slopped
onto him from somewhere. I never said where from.
But I thought that they had a version of the Morel too?
Yeah.
It was a different one.
Yeah, a termite did have a Morel, and that's the one that led him out to safety. And after he got out of that little isthmus or whatever peninsula, then he made it back into the no man's land, the fringe of the edge of the continent, the banyan tree. He's walking around, and then something hit him, and that was the Morel.
Okay. All right.
What did you picture the Morel looking like? I pictured it like a neck pillow that you wear on the airplane, or like an Elizabethan collar.
It was called Morel, but I pictured it as a woodier fungus. Mm. So with like the sort of dark brown fringes kind of on his head.
As a helmet?
As like a mohawk and a neck pillow combo.
On some mushrooms, they have that little fringe around the base. I kind of saw it there, but not like on his throat, just on the sides. But it kept mentioning his forehead sometimes. And I was like, I had a hard time picturing that.
That's why I saw it as like a mushroom mohawk.
Yeah, okay. I definitely saw it as a hat. Some sort of like head covering hat.
Did it protect him from the sun?
Possibly.
It's just a powdered wig because it's an English book.
So. Right. It's spores. Just not powder, just spores everywhere.
Yeah.
So did Gren become a barrister?
Next question.
Next question. Okay. We're still in medium land.
We're up to
Melinda's.
All right, yes. So question number six, and we've got Melinda's ghost pepper wing sauce. This is, again, one of my favorites. We're looking at a humongous range of 50,000 to 250,000. I don't really believe these Scoville units too much. I'm believing my own tongue, I think.
And your tongue says that we're safe still?
Yes, this is spicy.
Okay.
And this is, for me, this is a comfortable level of hot.
I've gone bigger again this time.
All right.
So at this point in the experience, are you thinking, you know, you would happily go on hot ones if you got a chance?
Oh, yes. 100%.
At this point, I'm riding high on hubris. Yes.
Says the Stoic.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Anyway.
Ghosts.
Cheers.
Sauce.
Cheers.
Nice. I like it.
Great flavor.
Classic buffalo wing flavor.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely high on the acidity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you want that sometimes.
Yeah.
Usually, yeah.
Well, on your wings, yes.
Yeah.
Not in every application.
That is very good.
That is good. That's tasty.
Do we have a question?
Oh, we didn't have a question.
I think I'm starting to develop a technique for how to get these properly kind of homogenized in my mouth before they hit the esophagus.
Oh, see, I'm going sauce down.
Mm. Okay.
So I get the full flavor of the sauce.
Okay.
Okay. Question. If the Morel had infected one of the time-traveling women at the end of the novel, what do you think would have happened? Mm. First, let's preface this by explaining the time-traveling women.
Yes.
So the
oh God,
Jesus fish had his three companions. One was the man who carried him on his back, and that's all he did. And then he had the two ladies, and they were, these were all from some sort of tribe. Now, one of them could talk to a degree, and that stopped her from having her time-traveling abilities. The other one was communicating with gesticulations or something, and she could move forward or backwards through time because it didn't mean anything to her. So whenever they got into a sticky situation, the Jesus fish, I'm sorry, will send...
It's my bad.
It's stuck. Would send her forward in time to see if they got out or how they got out of a sticky situation and then come back and like, no, we're going to be fine, guys. Everything's fine. She says it's fine. We're going to make it. Now, what would you think would happen if the Morel had gotten onto her? Would he have had the access to time travel? Would he have changed history?
I think I have an answer to this. So after the Morel is removed from Gren, it talks about how its influence had sort of like burned through its neural pathways, through his neural pathways, so that he had more ability to think abstractly than he had when it first started.
Okay.
And although I truly hate the idea of if you learn to talk, you lose your time travel powers because what the heck?
Yeah. It didn't make sense, but yeah.
I think to be consistent with that, I think the Morel would take away her powers.
Interesting. So if you want to stop the Jesus fish, you get extra Morel, throw it on the time traveler. Now he's stuck in time. He can't predict the future.
Why don't you just throw the Morel at the Jesus fish and have them fight it out?
I wanted to see that. I thought it happened.
I thought it was going to, yeah.
I did imagine that scene. I must have dreamt it because it was pretty cool. But it didn't happen. Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I was only kind of following at times. Right. So you might have picked up on a thing that I missed.
Am I remembering correctly, though, that the one of the traveling ladies betrayed the Sodalier?
Yes, for like a moment.
Yeah.
For like a moment.
Okay. I don't remember what happened.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly either.
Yeah, it's kind of jumbled.
But it's also sign language doesn't count as language. What the heck, Brian Aldiss?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to go back very far to where like parents were told, don't try to, you know, sign with your deaf child because that'll stunt their ability to read lips or something.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like how far?
What era? I remember it in like Mr. Holland's Opus, the
Richard Dreyfuss. Movie. Yeah.
Portland movie.
Which is set in like the over a large amount of time, but it's definitely, I think, in the 60s at the beginning. So
we unfortunately make many mistakes before we figure out what to actually do.
Yeah. Well, back in the days, you couldn't do your own research, right? Because that has solved all the problems. No, you could. You just went to the library or talked to experts.
Right. So, I think you have a really good idea. Because if the Morel introduced thought onto her, then that would have been it.
Yeah, she could have been like, peace out.
But I also, I'm not sure I totally think that the Sodalier knows everything that they say that they know.
Oh, no.
So, the source of their time-traveling powers might not be, in fact, not being able to talk.
Yeah, he was an arrogant cuss.
Yeah.
Well, there were a lot of arrogant cusses in this book.
There were, yeah.
The Sodalier certainly was. The Sharpfurs, some of them were pretty arrogant. Yep. Gren, obviously.
Yeah.
And the Morel were all pretty. Oh, and some of the flyboys.
Right, or the what was the council on the moon called? I can't remember what they were called. Where they had captives. Right. Because they had suffered worse mutations, so they weren't even
ambulatory
necessarily. One of them didn't even show itself.
Yeah, he smeared his excrement onto the casing.
That's the sign of
burn urn.
Big intelligence.
Yeah,
it's they were called the captives, and he describes them as being in these like little cells.
Yeah,
but then in their minds, they're not because all they have to do is sit around and think about stuff, and they don't have to go out and hunt for food.
Right.
Yeah, I mean it's an interesting commentary about who thinks they are the captive and who thinks they're free. Because they thought, I'm getting everything I want, and I can kind of do, I can do anything, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a hive structure, right? Where they're almost like the queen. Mm. Everybody else goes out and does the work, and She just gets to think like the Hive Queens in the Ender series.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, next question.
How far are we in? What are we on? Are we on to number six?
This is seven.
We're on the last one of the medium. Okay. The last medium.
We're in the home stretch.
And this is the one that Seth brought.
Yep.
Let's see. Everybody's saucing up. I'll tell you about this. We got it's the local hive honey hot sauce mango habanero, and it does smell like honey. Yeah. It smells good. It is purported to have 100,000 to 300,000 Scoville units. We are moving into a new level of pain here, ladies and gentlemen.
Excellent. Maybe. It says medium on it, too. That's the thing. Oh. That's why I got it, because I was like, okay, I think maybe we need to pad out the middle here.
And I think you're right. We should have had more middles. Next time.
On the other hand, doing this completely blind would be interesting. If you don't know that you're going up in the next one.
Pull the sauces out of a bag.
Yeah.
Take the labels off. This is it. Squirt some on. See what happens.
Yep. I got this one at Fred Meyer. So Kroger, if you're in a different part of the country.
Okay.
I think the buildup is what makes it brutal. Right? The progressively hotter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers.
That's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's very sweet. Very honey.
It's mostly,
it's not spicy at all.
Sauce down so I can taste the sauce. But yeah, it's not. Either we've killed our taste buds.
No.
Or.
all our tongues are completely smooth at this point.
Scoville units, I don't think are. I think their estimates, and this one seemed to estimate way high. Because this is like way down here with the yellow burn.
Yeah, I don't think that's as spicy as the Cholula.
I
think that Tabasco has been the spiciest, and that was our number three.
Yeah, I will take another hit.
It is tasty, though. It's very, very sweet.
Dinner, so.
Mango habanero honey. We need a cue.
Oh, question.
Oh.
Last mild question, medium question. Before we get into the danger zone. If you were Morel, what would you have done differently in this story?
You know, seeking consent isn't a bad idea.
Thank you. Morel wants to take over as best they can. They want to find a place where they can live and thrive and continue on the species. But they're using other creatures to move about and learn from them. But again, if you were Morel and you dropped onto Gren's head, how would you have done things differently besides consent?
I think the Morel started out okay, but then could not be chill for even one second.
Yep, I agree. It really kind of got agitated easily.
The hubris. It saw itself as superior in every way and was like, well, I'm in charge because I'm the smartest, best boy.
Yes.
Mushroom boy.
So the Morel should have become like best friends with Like, hey, buddy, we're buddies. Let's paint this fence together.
Because Gren was on board with, oh, yeah, teach me stuff. Let's go see the world.
Mm-hmm. At the beginning.
Yeah.
The Morel overplayed its hand.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's one of the things in the condition of the humans at the beginning of the novel is they don't have a culture, really. They don't have any passed down knowledge of any kind other than the adults, maybe a little bit, yeah. I'll make room for you here in a minute. They pass down some traditions, like going up, right? At some point, the adults go up, and we must protect the man children.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I thought they're the most important.
Patriarchy.
I thought it would have been the other way around. You protect the women children.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he knows what matriarchy is.
Yeah.
No, they remembered some, because they knew that there was something important about whatever the glass bubble.
Yes.
The burn urn.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's one thing I remember.
you got my back for that.
Yeah. But there's no knowledge transfer generation to generation beyond sort of the day-to-day existence. Right.
Yeah.
And then this one tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because if they could have just slowed down for a second and talked to the flymen were terrible.
Communicators.
Yeah. Like, okay, let's just go snatch the children. We don't have to talk to anybody. Nobody will have a problem with that. Where if they had come back and said, hey, by the way, it's really nice on the moon. So, you know, we can show you how to get there.
Yeah. Again, if the flymen had tried to make friends and not kidnap children, we'd be in a very different place.
Yeah. Whole story would have been different.
And that place is the moon, which is way more rad than the Earth at this point.
Yeah.
Safer. For sure. See, if I was Morel, I would have, day one, I would have started teaching Gren how to make tools, how to survive, how to hunt. Let's build a society. Let's go find some more people and start getting more and more humans together, because humans seem like the smartest creature on the planet besides the Jesus fish and the Morel. So why not get on them and help them make you make an area? Start chopping down some of the banyan tree, make an area so you can, the perfect spot to, for your spores to start infecting, you know, maybe go find an island and just take it over.
Yeah.
I don't think the Morel had that knowledge. I don't think the Morel knew how to make tools. I think the Morel could see in the ancestral memories, okay, humans using tools.
Okay.
The Morel's like, there was a car and the people were in the car.
Okay, fair enough.
He just remembered reruns of Dukes of Hazzard.
So. Build a car again. And also, like when they found the cave, which somehow after a billion years had a working drone.
Yeah, that was weird. What was it called? Beauty?
Beauty. Yeah. They called it Beauty. So, and
I was very confused by that entire thing. Yeah,
they opened the door. It was like a helicopter typey thing. It had wings though, but they opened the door and they were inside flicking switches. It was the size for them. How is that even possible? Yeah. No, maybe it was a toy, but why would you have switches on the inside that did anything?
Mm-hmm. No, it was political ephemera. Because it was shouting political slogans at them.
Right, right.
And following them, how did it know to follow? How did it recognize them as people to follow them?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of questions. Like, I would have just grabbed onto it. Take us out of here.
And talk about over-engineered to survive a billion years in the jungle.
It was pristine. They said the box that came in was flat, so it popped out like an origami thing. I was like, I wish there'd been a little bit more detail about that.
And it was like bright yellow, which is why they called it Beauty. It was a bright color.
It was bright. Yeah, it was also yellow as well,
I was going to write down all the political slogans to see, like, is there a message here from the author?
So he did say something about no more chimp labor.
That's right.
So I imagine there's some sort of somewhat uplifted chimps who were working the docks or something. And I was
That would make sense with the sharp fur. Sharp furs, yeah. Who are like baboons. Uplifted baboons.
I don't remember their other name. They were baboons.
Something like that. Yeah.
He said they had goat eyes. So I figured they were goats.
I mean, if it's a billion years in the future, everyone can have goat eyes if they want them.
Yeah.
I want a square pupil. Why not?
I would think that wouldn't be too useful in a tree.
Yeah, it's for flat ground.
Right? Yeah, you want for flat plains.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they were living on outside of.
Oh, that's true. They were outside. They were on the coast and on
in the mountains, right?
Right, in the mountains.
Yeah, past the Terminator.
The literal Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Also, give them W-shaped pupils, you coward. Like a squid? Right.
Yeah. Cuttlefish. Yeah.
Cuttlefish, yeah.
Cuttlefish have W-shaped pupils?
Yeah, you should go look it up. They're really cool.
It's
right
there. It's two clicks away on your device. Yeah, on your internet
device. Podcasting here.
It's right there.
I'm sorry. I'm just here to provide random animal facts.
No, you're okay.
Nice. Nicely in line with like T. Kingfisher's Hugo acceptance speeches.
Oh, what did she do?
Oh, she talked about the sea cucumber with its anal teeth and slime molds.
And chucking out its own intestines.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do love a sea cucumber.
Is that fish that lives in their butt?
Sophia's mind is blown.
Aren't they beautiful?
Looks like what?
Aren't they beautiful, though?
So for the record, Asians love dried cuttlefish.
Well, yeah.
It never occurred to me to think about their eyeballs.
Yeah. I think we're ready for a spicy question.
I believe we're in trouble with the next one.
Yeah,
I can stop being T. Kingfisher from Wish.
Yes. All right, moving into the eighth spot. We have Dave's Insanity Sauce. This is, again, coming at roughly 180,000 Scoville units.
And this is the analog for Da Bomb?
Yes.
Okay.
This is a lot of heat, not a lot of flavor.
Yeah, that's my fear. I would think I mentioned on the Discord that a long time ago, there was a shop in one of the malls in Anchorage, Alaska, where I grew up, called Salsa Vida. And all they had was salsas, hot sauces, and spice blends. So if you wanted to do a crab boil or something, you could go and get your stuff there. But I got this one that had, it was called Crazy Uncle Eddie's Brain Damage Hot Sauce.
Nice.
And the cap looked like a little pink brain. And it had no flavor other than pain. So
Oh, already? Are we ready?
Should I ask the question before we? No.
Are we ready for deep hurting?
Yeah, let's do this.
Cheers.
Let's see on the other side. That's hot. That's hot.
That's nasty. Good Lord.
It tastes like burnt rubber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's why it's a stand-in for the bomb.
I was going to say it tastes like pencil erasers.
Oh, so we're right in the same area.
Mm-hmm. Editor Seth, again, this, folks, is where the pain really got us. There was a delay of probably 10 to 15 minutes here with weeping and gnashing of teeth for everyone but Sarah. Sarah remained unmoved. I started hiccuping. I couldn't stop for several minutes. Sophia broke out the mochi ice cream to help us recover. So I apologize. There were a lot of sounds of unwrapping mochi and other things that I couldn't easily edit out. So sorry about that.
That doesn't taste like food.
I did not eat the whole thing.
Oh, you don't have to.
No, I'm not a quitter.
I'm going for some blue cheese. Thanks for the blue cheese, mm-hmm. Seth.
Sarah's cool as a cucumber.
My mouth is on fire.
Do not play cards with this person.
I'm not good at cards.
Okay.
That's what you say when you argue with cards.
I'm legitimately bad at cards, though.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah, ice cream, please.
This has been such a lovely day visiting your city.
I got one on recording.
You made it to the spicy.
Oh, I think I'm dying.
God, I'm getting pink. Yeah. I am
crying.
Literally crying.
Yep. Oh. Ow. Oh, there it is. The tear has fallen.
Should we start getting pictures of each other now?
Yeah, we didn't take any of the optimistic before pictures.
Well, yeah, we should.
I'm gonna take one more mochi. Does anyone want the last one?
I don't know what all their problems are.
We really should have got it before. We really should.
Yeah, yeah.
Lessons learned. Next week, when we do this, folks, we're gonna be more prepared.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'll just take another picture right now and say it was before.
Exactly. It's exactly the same.
Sarah the Stoic.
You know, my when I mentioned to my family that I was doing this, they're like, you hiccup with Cholula. And I'm like, I know, but I like it. So I got past the hiccups.
Oh, I need to
go. Take a moment.
I need to start trash talking more so you can really appreciate my inevitable downfall.
Bleep, yes, bleep, exactly. Bleep, 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 bleep. That's really good.
The mochi is perfect. Because the rice is soothing and the ice cream is soothing and it's cold.
Boy, this next question better be spicy.
Oh, it will be. Well, whose question is it? Who drew it?
I haven't drawn one.
Okay. Oh, I handed you one.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Didn't was it mine?
Yeah, it was yours.
Oh, it says spicy. Okay. You ready?
I'm ready.
Sophia, are you ready? Just breathe. Okay, let's talk gender politics. We didn't mention it a little bit. Yeah, the male children are given priority because of their fertility, I guess. But because of that, I thought the author could have just made them subservient. You know, like they are prized and protected, you know, to keep them safe.
Never letting them out of their pods. They're always safe.
Yep, yep.
There was a very tiny bit of that where Lily Yeo was saying, hey, Gren, don't go off. Stay with the group.
Yeah.
We'll send two of the women to go and check it out because we have more women than men.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
he could have explained it in terms of birth rates and said that there's just a lower incidence of
Birth. They did say that they were more rare, but not hugely more rare, like probably like 25, 75 or something rather than 50-50.
Mm-hmm. Mm. They kept mentioning the impulsiveness and the rebelliousness of Gren. So I figured maybe all the males were like that. So they're more likely to just fall off a cliff or get eaten by something by like, I'm going to go do this dangerous thing. Watch me, everybody.
Because boys are dumb.
Right. That's what I figured.
I think the failure was like not necessarily that Gren wasn't subservient because, I mean, obviously like both sexes should be equal and want to do the same stuff.
Yeah.
The failure was not ever showing any of the women really being matriarchs that much other than saying, no, I'm in charge, do what I say.
Yeah.
Which is the same as what Gren said of, I'm leading this expedition, do what I say and what the morale says.
So we had that leader at the beginning. It was Lily Yeo, was it?
Yeah. Lily Yeo, yeah.
And then once they left.
Immediately.
She said, oh, Toy, you're the one who's going to be taking over the female. Mm-hmm. And Toy tried to. And then, but there was like a fight, like right away between her and Gren and then another lady or the other guy. But everybody was like, no, I'm going to be.
But it was just, I'm in charge. No, I'm in charge. Right. No, I'm in charge. It was not, it wasn't any more.
Than just words. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of my problems with, I mentioned the dangling threads from the book. Like all the stuff that happened on the moon, I wanted to know more about what happened with Lilio. And yeah, she comes back into it later, but.
The moon, women weren't in charge on the moon.
No.
Oh. I didn't catch it.
I didn't get the impression that there was a particular, you know, that it was either male or female led.
It's aside from Lilio and to a lesser extent Toy, it was really just dudes in charge.
Yeah. Huh.
It's like he had the idea and couldn't get further than I'm going to say they're male patriarchy.
Right. He tried.
Did he though?
Did he?
Again,
some words to Paige.
Again, this is the era-typical misogyny that I struggle with in a lot of the older books.
Yeah. Is there a timeline where that starts to drop off a little more noticeably?
It depends. New Wave actually, I think, is the hardest for me because in a lot of the earlier stuff, there's just no women around.
Okay.
And in New Wave, women start showing up so that people can have sex with them.
Yeah, there's a lot of sex.
The Wanderer.
Or be pretty,
or be a damsel in distress, but mostly to have sex with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that definitely was creeping in on this, which is like Yatmer being called Sandwich Girl because the tummy bellies saw them having sex one time and ever after she was... Gren wasn't. Gren was still Gren, but she was Sandwich Girl.
Yeah, that was so weird. And one, okay, so in the beginning, are you okay, Sophia?
Okay.
We'll get through this. Again, you can stop eating the sauces at any point. No one's going to judge you. Okay.
I'm going to keep going.
What we needed was a nurse here to like put like probes on us and stuff and show the vitals on here. So we could see if Sarah's actually cracked inwardly and just still be cool. Putting a brave face on it.
Yeah.
Cool as a cucumber.
Yeah.
Look at her.
Not a sea cucumber.
No.
A regular cucumber.
No. I keep my intestines on the inside.
Yes. All right.
Where they belong.
Smart.
I don't know where I was going with this, but I was remembering at the beginning, Gren had said something after the adults had left, and he was trying to communicate something. He said, there's not enough words left.
Mm.
As if he understood that language was getting smaller and smaller throughout the years.
Mm.
But, you know, 100 pages later, he's busting out words I've never heard of. And I'm like, well, I mean... How did he even define his own vocabulary? And how did he know he was losing it?
He went to Morel school, right?
It was before the Morel.
It was before the Morel?
Yeah,
okay.
It was the first third, before they got to No Man's Land, where he met the Morel. But he said, that he was trying to communicate something. I think it was just after they're having that, no, I'm the boss argument. And he said, there's not enough words to describe it, what he was trying to think of. And I thought that was interesting. I thought we would get a little more about that. But I guess the Morel kind of jumped in later and said, I know more about you.
You'd think you could have seen that kind of thing happening when they go to a new place, right?
Yeah.
I don't have words to describe this because it's so different from what I'm used to.
Yeah.
But we wandered off the misogyny.
Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, there's plenty of misogyny to go around.
Well, I'm going to throw a little curveball. So I'm going to butcher or deconstruct my medium question. Because there was a statement, in chapter 8, that the humans and the insects were on equal terms. So not counting gender politics, there's definitely hierarchy sprinkled throughout the book, not just with gender, but also with the species. Why would this statement then be placed in chapter 8 that the insects and the humans were on equal terms?
I guess they would be equals maybe as compared to the plants themselves. They seem like the real dominating species, the real killers here. Now, it seemed like almost everything ate meat, except for maybe the tummy belly men. So, but there's not that much meat out there, you know?
I forgot that he was calling them termites with a G, M-I-G-H-T, and I hate that.
Oh.
I hate that.
I never even noticed
that. I think the termites and that's the insects.
That's the insects, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I just went to chapter 8.
Yeah, there's a lot of kind of neologism stuff going on.
Yeah.
Although all of them were better than the tummy bellies. Tummy belly was the worst. Yeah.
Does anybody have a question about the tummy bellies in there? Otherwise, we do need to talk about them.
I think I did. Let me just make sure we haven't missed.
Well, we can just say, hey, tummy belly time is definitely spicy. And do the next sauce. Unless...
Yeah, good point.
No, I have no more tummy belly. Yes, do the tummy bellies.
Okay.
Let's do it, with the next sauce, though.
Okay.
Now, what are we moving on to here?
Ooh.
What horror do you have?
This one, this is a real lip tingler.
This is Cully's Brutality Hot Sauce. 13 out of 10, it says. This is not a joke. Let me find the Scoville on this.
I'm letting the mochi come up to room temperature so I can more quickly apply it.
It's got chunks. I'm afraid of the chunks.
All right. We are moving into a new realm of pain. Cully's Brutality says it's 250,000 to 1 million Scoville.
I'm just going to wave this in the general vicinity of my...
Just exhale.
I'm going to be an idiot and sauce it up again.
Not a nice. Quitter.
That's very respectful. Respectable. I can't even talk.
Yeah, the chunks.
It can be respectful, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, flavor chunks.
The chunks give me concern.
Yeah, me too, because like I would think chipotles or something, but you know that's not what we've got here. What is this made of?
Mm. It's made of brutality, clearly.
Yeah. Oh, it starts with... I didn't bring my glasses.
Well, hopefully this one's tastier than the last one.
It's I think it's a scorpion mash or something.
Gross.
Yeah. All right. bottoms up.
Our hottest sauce Cheers. Yet. So we'll see if it is.
Mm. It's a better flavor than the previous one.
Yeah. And
this does not seem as hot as it used to be. Remember that Dave's Insanity just fried my tongue. This is fine.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make good choices.
Yeah. And so this one...
I was waiting for it.
This one and the Heartbeat, they've been sitting on my shelf for a couple of years. I wonder if they just got weaker over the time. Getting a little bit of heat there in the back, but... Yeah, no, that bit, Dave's was the worst. I mean, the best, Dave. Send us some sauce. Can I just put my tongue into the blue cheese?
You can. No one will judge you. Someone might take a photo and post it on Discord.
Go ahead. Do it. Yeah, do it.
Just full-on pudding cup it.
I may not be a handsome man, but I take silly pictures.
You had good Cash Patel eyes going there. So every time I see that guy, I'm like, did he just crap his pants?
Yeah.
Because that's the look on his face.
He's stunned.
Okay, now it's getting hotter. This is getting hotter and hotter. Anybody else?
Nope, nothing at all.
Okay. It's the blue cheese activated it.
Well, I did the blue cheese.
Wait, is that the secret? Blue cheese activated?
I mean, it did get a lot hotter after I ate the blue cheese.
All right.
I don't know why.
It didn't get hotter for me.
Okay.
I think I'm still on fire from the previous one.
Maybe a chunk got stuck in my tooth and I gnawed it and it opened, burst open the flavors.
Oh, the blue cheese is tasty.
Yeah.
It's good really job. Good.
Thank you.
What was the question?
Tummy bellies, discuss.
Oh, tummy bellies, yes. Tummy bellies, yes. The thing that bothered me in several places is the pigeon English kind of that was going on. I'm like, offensive stereotype of contact between cultures.
I didn't think of that.
I mean, you couldn't necessarily expect them to all have the same language facility, but you could just have them speak a different language.
Yeah, all them having the same language was weird.
Yeah,
and the fawning, the fawning was pretty uncomfortable.
Simpering
over the sandwich lady. Well, and they were very. I don't know how they were coded exactly, but let's talk about what they are. They are basically attached to and nurtured by trees, and they're literally attached to them like Avatar style when they attach to things, only permanently.
Yeah. But it sounded like they were given to the tree as infants to establish the link. Mm. And they're attached to these trees, and they make their living by fishing, and then trading their fish with the herders.
Yeah.
Who have the little bunny? I thought the bunny plants
were a completely different group. That
no, right next to each other. No, yeah, the tummy bellies are the fishers.
Are they?
Yeah,
that's right. They are because the fishers have tails. They met the herders who took them to the fishers, which we call tummy belly men.
After that, and I'm like, can't we just call them the fishers? That's so much better.
Yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, they're attached with like an umbilicus to the tree. The umbilicus hooks right above their coccyx. I cannot think right now. Sorry.
And so they worship anything with a tail.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why they like the spike fur guys at the end. Teeth.
The sharp furs. The baboons had tails.
Yeah. The tummy belly were like Entborg. You know, they had been assimilated by the tree.
Right. And it's like the sharp furs are clearly gods because they have tails.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, they were called flabby. Was that the word they used?
Plump.
They're kind of fed through an umbilicus, right?
Yeah. So,
but
they were, yeah, they kept talking about how their appendages were swollen and bulbous. Mm. But they were simpletons. They were children. They were innocents. And Gren came along and saw them as innocents. Oh, you're about to say something.
Yeah, they notably were the ones that wove textiles. They wove the mats for them to protect themselves when they went to the cold place.
Oh.
So Gren didn't notice that they had any intelligence, but they clearly had at least something.
Something, yeah. Okay.
And it could have been coming from the tree.
But they were detached from the tree by that point. But I mean,
their knowledge could have been coming from the tree.
Right.
Who knows, but and you know, Gren comes in there and unilaterally saviors his way into disconnecting them from the tree.
And it makes them do what he wants by kicking and slapping them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gren sucks. Mm-hmm. Gren's a jerk.
Yeah.
I agree.
If I was on an adventure half this long, I do not want him there.
No.
I do not want him. I would have shoved him off the raft. Sorry.
The solution to the morale problem is kick both of them into the sea.
He's clearly poisoned by the morale. If you kill him, you kill the morale. Sorry, guys.
But back to the previous question, I really did not enjoy the part where when Yatmer is afraid of Gren and goes to hang out with the Tummy Bellies to get away from him, mm-hmm. they sexually molest her.
That's my spicy question.
That's your spicy question? I really didn't like that. There didn't seem to be any purpose to it.
No, it didn't make a lot of sense. Like they were touching her and then touching her in more and more sensitive places. Then they just stopped. I was like, well, what was the point of all that? I thought maybe they were going to try to sandwich her at some point.
Well, I don't think it was described clearly enough to say that they definitely didn't.
Yeah, see, I always had an impression of the Tummy Belly men that they were, one, all men. Does it ever describe that there are women?
No, there weren't.
There must be because the infants aren't attached to the tree yet.
Right.
But they're not described, which is, that's the old school women. They're around somewhere doing something.
Right, yeah. Right. But so it's like the tree is their mother, though. And so once they're disconnected from that, I kind of... To try and put some kind of spin on it that isn't as gross is like they attach to Yatmer as their new mom.
Okay.
But then it's very Oedipal and weird Freudian stuff that you start thinking of.
I think we none of us liked that part.
No. Yeah, it was weird.
And again, like you said, it didn't really seem to serve any purpose to the story. It was like, okay, like if it had been a little more sexy, okay, I get why in the 60s you would have been writing something like that.
I do appreciate that even though there was uncomfortable stuff about the sex. It wasn't hyper graphic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never liked it in my books.
I don't like reading the bad sex.
So
how many days on a raft would it take you to make a sandwich with have the Tummy Belly men watch you?
I thought that was so weird.
Well, they didn't.
It was 5 days. You're like, you can't wait. Just die or something. Like, you don't really need this.
I mean, it's again, they talked about it in an earlier sex scene about Gren and Yatmer with the Tummy Bellies watching and cheering them on.
Yeah. Yeah, it was on the raft and then on that little island.
Which, gross.
Super weird. They weren't trying to hide it. And it's like everybody was okay. More than okay. Everybody was getting excited.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was
very weird.
Well, I wrote the line down.
Okay.
Because I had the same question.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty clear what happens. Encouraged by her apathy, they began to explore the more intimate parts of her body. Yatmer offered no resistance, and when their simple prurience, I had to look that up, was satisfied, .. So it was definitely the Tummy Bellies driving the bus.
No, this is not for me. This is for our listeners. What was that word you said?
Prurience.
What does that mean?
Oh,
Sexual interest.
Yeah. Or, sexual.
And can you read that line one more time, sir? What's their prurience?
Encouraged by her apathy, they began to explore the more intimate parts of her body. Yatmer offered no resistance, and when their simple prurience was satisfied, and I .. it.
Mm. I guess I didn't understand that word when I read that section.
I had to look it up because I'm like, context is giving me a lot, but I got to look up this word.
Yeah.
Oh, did any of you look this book up on the internet as part of the reading process?
I looked up a lot of words.
Okay. I did some searching on like what other people had thought of it.
Oh yeah, I listened to a number of reviews.
Okay, and found a post to Reddit to Men Writing Women.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
From right at the beginning.
A very entertaining subreddit.
Which is almost but not totally like connected to the topic, but a very earned Men Writing Women post, which says something about the book. But it was at the beginning when Lilio is looking at her own breasts and saying, "Oh, I'm old. I should go die now."
I forgot about that. Yeah.
And on the subreddit, they're like, "Oh yeah, this definitely qualifies for the subreddit."
Yeah. Are we ready for?
I think we waited long enough. Sarah is now ready for the 10th one.
I mean, I'm fine. We can go at your pace.
All right, let's talk about the 10th stop. This is an official Hot Ones, the Last Dab experience with Pepper X. I believe currently, when we are recording this episode, it is the hottest pepper in the world. This hot sauce is ranked at 2,693,000 Scoville.
Gross.
That is 2.5 times hotter than the last thing we just had.
In theory.
Yeah, in theory.
The last one was
a lot of confusion about these hot sauces. Like this goes, the honey goes way down at the beginning.
Yeah.
I think. Scorpion comes up. This one was also weak.
Dave's Insanity goes up a notch.
Yes. Yeah, this Colleagues, I think, was actually down.
It was below the Tabasco.
All right.
So take it from us. Don't trust the Scoville units. Trust your tongue.
Look at number 10.
Number 10. Wait, is this?
It's Nanja.
I've gone big.
I don't have 10. That's big. Okay, let's see on the other side.
The mochi is nice and squishy now.
Yeah.
It's ready.
Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
I just got that all over my lips.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing?
It's not bad.
I think age has defeated us.
But I thought this was new.
This one is a year and a half old.
All right, on the back end.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
A little bit.
I think the Dave's...
That was not nearly as scary as the last one.
Oh, no.
The Dave's Insanity was the worst.
Oh, that wasn't the last one.
You need more. Oh, yeah. That's hot.
It's getting you now?
Yeah.
I'm not suffering enough, guys.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, you're going back.
Seattle Ringer.
I'm going back for the terrible one. Right, I need to feel something.
Did you just coat your mouth with olive oil or something before you showed up?
No. I have a little bit of water. I had the one mochi. I had some ramen before I showed up, but like at 12:30.
Okay, can you get a picture? This is the one.
That one's really getting you?
Yeah.
This one's nothing near. Oh.
Oh, yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah, that's burning in the hot in the back. Is that burning you?
It is, but it's not. It's at the same degree as the 2 times ago.
That's the hottest one.
Insanity hit me worse.
Do you want some ice cream?
Yes, please. I always worry that when I get in a situation like this, if I go to like vomit and it comes out my nose.
Oh, no.
No, that would not be pleasant.
Oh, no. Oh, how are you, none of you being affected by this?
I'm feeling it, but I think something burnt out on the previous ones.
Hey, this one hurts. The insanity hurts.
Oh, the one you went back to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Happy birthday to me.
Is it your birthday today?
Yes.
Happy birthday. Hey, despite the way you're feeling now, Matthias, we made it.
Yes.
At this point, we can just go to, you know, anything else that's been unsaid. But if you want to frame it around a question, go for it.
I did have a question.
Oh.
I had a spicy question I wanted to ask.
Go for it.
Queen of the castle. Seriously.
Yeah.
Master of your domain.
I've been training my whole life.
We might have to make up a new title, just for you in the book club.
Yes.
Sauce
yes.
Master. Spice Lord sounds too 21st century. That sounds weird.
I mean, the spice must flow.
Yep.
I am feeling it. This is not fun. This is painful.
Yeah, but you're not crying.
You're not crying.
I have made use of. I went and got a cold drink. I've got some rice pudding here, so I am making use of the coolants.
Mm-hmm. It's like your brow is just—it's like powdered up. There's no moisture at all.
Okay, what do you got for a question?
This was my final spicy question. It doesn't seem nearly as spicy anymore, but I think it is an interesting question. If you and the other adults were getting ready to ascend up into the tips and leave your children behind, what is the very last lesson you would give them?
Never trust a mushroom.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Never trifle with a truffle.
The vessel with the pestle? The pellet with the poison?
Yeah, if you knew this was your last day seeing your little tribe of kids, what's the last lesson you would give them?
Given that they kept splitting up over and over again, even though they said that they were supposed to stay together as a group for safety, I would say, use the buddy system, no really.
Hmm. Yeah, and don't pay too much attention to what the boys want to do.
Ignore the dumb boys.
Yeah. Well, so if you got, here's another one.
Yeah, that wasn't a good one.
That's a good finale one. You put yourself in Grimm's shoes, I know, distasteful as it is. at the end, you're given the kind of directive by the, was it the Sodal? Yeah, I think, who said, look, we're going to commandeer this, or no, it was the Morel, wasn't it? Commandeer the Traverser and go off into a different solar system.
Yes.
That was Lilio's group. That was the Flymen.
Okay.
We're like, here's our plan is the Earth is doomed, so the moon is doomed, so we need to find a new moon.
Right. Mm. And Gren goes, nah, it's going to be fine here for a while yet, so it'll be good. You know, like the short-sighted climate change won't affect me and my, you know, or my children, but not thinking about generations down the line.
Yeah.
It seemed like his decision was pretty short-sighted.
He'd been through a lot, and I guess he just wanted to rest, but why not get off that planet?
Yeah, but so much of the stuff that he went through was his own making.
Was it?
It's he had his adventures, and he's like, can I just go home?
Yeah, he was ready
and
to
I
sleep
think that there is an argument for that.
Sure, a Bilbo Baggins kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be the end of the Third Age. I'd rather be at my house.
Sure.
But he doesn't have a house. He has to go out and make a new house. And I mean, yeah, like, why wouldn't you want to hang out with more people? Even the Flymen, whatever, the humans, whatever. Safety in numbers, but Gren went off with himself?
No, Yatmer.
Yatmer.
And the baby.
To the moon or to the new solar system.
No, they went back to the jungle.
They went back to the jungle, yeah. And
the other Flymen, they left.
I think they were going to try to look for their tribe that they had left.
Good luck.
It's a whole
continent.
Yeah.
I don't think they would be successful. They're probably all just going to be eaten by
a flaptrap. There's so many weird names for all the plants. And they're all like little British kitty slang, like Pizzly Wizzlies and whatnot.
I liked all the different, dangers that they faced. Although it seemed like the danger turned on and off depending on if the plot needed it.
True.
Yes.
Very true.
Because right at the beginning, you know, you have the body count is non-zero from like page 5, right?
They had like the trunk traps, which weren't called that.
Mm-hmm.
There was like the big tongues, which were not called that.
Yeah.
Caves, just in general, caves are danger.
Yeah, there were two caves for sure.
Yeah, there was the one where there was the gigantic tongue that they were able to like spike down, and like, now we can track this thing down and eat it.
That was on the tree.
That was on the tree, yeah.
But no, they found the cave with the herders. It was like billowing out smoke, and it was drawing all the animals to it.
Right. There was the siren call.
It was like, yeah, but it...
And like a handy thing came up?
It was a volcanic tube.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lava tube.
A lava tube.
River coming out of it.
Mm.
But something lived in there, and it was scary. We never saw it.
And also mist. They were almost killed by mist at one point.
I don't remember that. How'd that go?
It was...
On the island?
It was adjacent to one of the caves.
Okay.
Where they were wandering it. The cave was drawing them towards them. They ran into the mist, and the mist gave them visions of everything's fine. This is a paradise. Time to settle down.
The green.
Yeah, the green.
Yes, that was on the island.
Yes.
Just after the sandwich making on the raft. Yeah, they got there. And there was like millions of eyes inside. Sorry, I'm hungry. There was millions of eyes inside the cave. They were looking into Gren's soul, all their souls, and then they said it found them lacking. They were wanting. They weren't good enough for whatever. Mm-hmm. And then later in the book, we saw that sort of green mist being shot out into the sky, out into the space, collecting beings, I think, and then sending them off to other planets.
Was the green laser the same as the green mist?
I assumed so because it said something about... I think it was...
There were a lot of green things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think somebody was saying the Morel or the fish was saying that they are collecting species and then seeding them out into the universe to other planets. That's why the green lasers were going out into the sky. And for some reason, the greenness of it reminded me of the greenness of that cave on the island where Gren and folk were surrounded. And then he was like in like a green perfect paradise and time and space stopped. And then... They just let him go. They're like, no, you're not good enough. Get out of here.
Yeah.
And it was never explained, which I loved. I loved the mystery throughout a lot of the book. I loved there weren't a lot of answers because it kept me thinking, will I get an answer? I'm rambling. Sorry, somebody else take over.
Yeah, we're kind of into final thoughts territory.
So, right? That final sentence, paragraph.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, I assume it was Yatmer and Gren. Together, they climbed down into a bower of leaves. They did not look back as the Traverser, with its passengers, rose slowly, slowly floated from the jungle up into the green flecked sky and headed for the solemn blues of space. That's why I thought that they were leaving.
No, they were watching that happen, I think.
Yeah.
They were watching the shuttle launch, the spider shuttle.
Yeah, because the Arachne mission.
Greg was in the bower, so he couldn't have been in the sky.
Yes, the Arachne mission.
Keep it in Greek mythology.
Yep.
That's
yep.
Why we're here.
I thought they were on the Traverser. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a...
No, all, for
the,
sure.
The flymen, just the flymen.
Was it just... What happened to the tummy belly men in the end of the book?
The sharp furs chopped off their heads.
That's right! So they were there for comic relief, right?
But
for
were
sexual
they?
Sexual assault and comic relief. Yeah.
Which in the 60s, it was the same thing.
Right.
Betty Hill.
Yes, aww. I was just thinking. This would put the Yakety Sax song.
Yakety Sax does not improve my mental image of the tummy bellies. No.
But they were buffoons. They had to have been there for comic relief.
I'm just going to stick to, they had textile technology.
Okay.
And some of it is filtered through Gren not thinking anyone else is smart.
That's true. Yeah, Gren was an arrogant cuss.
Yeah. Yep. Gren sucked.
Yeah. So he was 10 years old, this whole adventure?
He was 9 and a half.
Right. But man proportioned to his small stature.
So he was probably...
16-ish.
17, 16, okay. 17.
I felt like he kept getting older throughout the book. Like by the end of the book, I felt like he was a 30-year-old guy. Maybe it's because he was just getting weaker and slower and the morale was taking over more. But I also felt that Yatmer was also getting older, like they were rapidly aging. Oh. I don't think it ever said it anywhere in the book. That's just the impression I got from their actions.
Yeah.
Well, it's also the morale was definitely, the morale was a parasite and was taking his energy. So he probably was acting like, oh, my hips, oh, my knees.
Right.
Yeah, he was sitting in the cave for like days on end with his hands wrapped around his belly, just like trying to think. Because the morale's like, I need to grow, I need to...
And the morale didn't want to let him sleep.
Yeah.
So just a horror show.
Why didn't it just go to Yatmer? She was right there.
Because she's a woman.
The moment she went to sleep, done. Maybe that's it. And the baby was a
boy. Boy. Maybe Laren.
Yeah, very manly name. I thought I said Lauren like the first three times I read it. I'm like, oh, okay.
It almost made it to Lawrence.
Okay.
I have met a male Lauren.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Oh, I'm the only one.
Not okay. Laren, but Lauren.
Lauren.
Yeah.
Well, oh. Anything else that we want to say?
Yeah, so I don't remember. I mean, we went around and talked about, did we all enjoy the book or?
I enjoyed the book.
Okay.
4 out of 5 stars.
Okay.
I will definitely read more Brian Aldiss simply because of his imagination. Like, it just got me thinking about things I'd never heard of, never thought about. And that's almost everything I want out of a book. Just entertain me for a while and get me to think about some new vista, some new horizon, some new planet.
It's
just ours.
I picture him sitting in a shed at the back of his garden, just free associating and putting it all on the page and not really going back very much. And I want to shake him and tell him to edit and look for consistency and just to write fantasy.
You know, LSD gets in the way of that consistency.
Also let women do things.
Yeah. I did, when I started looking for, you know, what other people thought about it, I found like a Reddit thread and it was like 50-50. Oh yeah, it's my absolute favorite book. Or like, no, it's complete dreck. So it's pretty polarizing.
Wow.
I liked it. I didn't love it. I think I would also do a 4 out of 5. And for the record, I do a lot of my books are fives. Mm. So I think 4 out of 5 is good enough. I would recommend it. Absolutely. But it's not my first classic sci-fi that I would go to.
No.
I think I told you when I had started reading it, I don't think this is going to be my jam, but I'd rather read something interesting that's not totally for me.
Sure.
Than something safe that is for me.
Yeah.
He does take big swings, and I have to give points for that. I would need to know someone pretty well before I would recommend it to them.
Yeah. I mean, that's almost always the case with books.
Right.
There are a few books where you're like, anybody should enjoy this. But yeah, I think I enjoyed it. I don't know what I'd give it on a star rating. I'll have to think about that.
You can edit that in later.
I can, yeah. I'm not going to, though. There's already enough editing that needs to be done.
How long has this been going on?
2 hours.
Good so. Lord.
Anything else that we need to talk about?
No. I think
we should tell people, you know, any of the other people on Chapter House Portland on the Discord, you know, if you're in the area or the Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
And you want to get together, because you and Sophia and I got together for a trivia pub once.
Yes.
So
and we're going to do it again.
Yes. So if you get onto the Nebulugo Discord Book Club, go to Chapter House Portland. That's going to be the local channel to talk about all the stuff we do here. And if not, just hit up Matthias, Sophia, or Seth, and yeah, let's get together. Let's talk in person. Let's hang out. I really like talking to people about books in real life.
Yes. Yeah,
I have so few people in life who read books.
It's a different vibe.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, and it's fun doing it around something like this. Don't necessarily want to do this.
Yeah,
no, we're never doing this. Okay. We're never doing this ever again.
But if you, listener, want to do it with me, I will do that. I will do it again.
Okay. You can use the space, and I'm just going to sit on the comfy chair laughing at you all.
I think I might clean up my basement for it next time, just so when it's like, oh, you guys got to leave. I'm going to bed right now.
I mean, I think I also sent this cord. This sounds like such a nonsense idea that it's worth making the trip down.
Yeah.
That's right, listeners. Yeah. If you have more nonsense ideas, let me know.
But like, not an every week situation, but you know, every once in a while.
Yeah.
This is cool.
I think we better wrap it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's time.
Thank you.
So if anybody's out there and you heard this and you have read the book and you have other opinions, you know, find us on the Discord and let us know about it. Or you know, reach out to the various methods to me, and I will pass it on to everybody here.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. I would do this again. It's dumb.
This was fun and dumb. Yes, yeah. You're correct.
Well, there were so many books that have hot or fire in their title.
Right? I liked some of the options. Inferno, that seemed like a cool one. Shadrick in the Inferno, really good one. The Burned World, the Blazing World.
Blazing World.
That's the Cavendish lady. Oh, man.
Yeah. So we could queue another one of these up.
Yeah, a lot of options.
Just Sophia will not join us.
It's okay.
I think I could be convinced.
We'll need a sauce refresh.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And throw away these ones that don't even work.
Yeah.
That was disappointing.
I didn't mind the duds.
Yeah.
So.
And again, I'm kind of glad we didn't have the bomb. I'm kind of glad.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
It's
in here, really. Yeah, already. Yeah. So we haven't started. So this is, it's one of my gifts.
It is officially too late to back out.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, the door is locked.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just want to say, if for some reason anybody cannot physically move forward, I don't think we should all be judging each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just a little judgment.
A little bit.
Yeah. I feel like the endorphins coming in that are stealing me, and I'm going to be ready for
sweating.
The future sauces.
We haven't started yet. That does not bode well.
That's what we should check in.
It is officially too late.
We should check in every few questions to see where everybody.
Oh, the door's a lot.
Yes.
I came all this way.
But I just want to say, if for some reason anybody cannot physically move forward, I don't think we should not be judging each other.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. But just a little bit of judgment.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah.
I'm scared already.
Alrighty.
I'm scared.
I'm gonna look. I'm gonna touch my eyes.
Oh, jeez. We can check in and review questions to see where everybody's at.
I might be the baby.
Am I setting myself up as stoic? That just means I'm gonna crash real hard eventually.